Sunday morning to everybody. Wow, I did not want to do this morning, and God wouldn't let me go. The Adam in me did not want to speak about this today, or the Ish, or the Goober, or whatever those other names were that we were calling him. So much has happened since last Sunday. Oscar made a comment last Sunday at the end of the service that if God has delivered you from something, you should stand up and share it. Acknowledge it. Let me stop for a word of prayer first. I'm sorry. Father, let your perfect will be done. And not my will, Father, but yours. I surrender myself to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I went down to the station with Mike and Oscar and Rich on Wednesday. And the subject of the conversation that day was God has a plan. God has a plan for our lives. You know something? We could never guess it in a million years. And if we did guess it, we'd run for the hills. At the beginning, I'm going to probably be blowing my nose a little bit today, but yes, hallelujah. And you can't run away from him. Okay, so it's Mother's Day, so I thought I'd start off with a joke about Mother's Day. It's a puny little joke, and it's not even funny, but this little boy kept going to school every day, and he kept telling his teacher all the things about his new baby that's going to be coming, you know, and so he went home one night, and his mom said, "Oh, honey, the baby's moving. Do you want to feel the baby move?" And he did, and he, "Oh, my goodness." Well, the next day he went to school, and he didn't say anything much, but the teacher asked him, she said, "Are you still looking for your new baby?" And he says, "No, teacher, I think my mom ate it." Yo mama, I'll tell you what, we had none of us any good. And I'm lucky because I got to be a mama without ever having birth, having to give birth. What else was I going to say? Let me see. See how short it is? Are you happy? Yes. This morning in Sunday school, and I'm not, you know, I'm adding this to what I was going to say because you kind of piqued my memory about the very first time I ever had a dream, and it was from the Lord. And I was young. I had not met Mike. You know, I met Mike when I was 40. 40, and we got married when I was 41. And this was back when I was like 25, 26, and I had a dream. And in the dream, I was out in a tent, and all, you know, they were blankets, and they were thrown over a clothesline with clothespins on them and everything. And I peeked around the tent, and there was this gorgeous room on the other side. And you could just walk, and you could go forever, and there were just all kinds of beautiful, you can't trust me. There were just all kinds of beautiful ornate objects in there and lovely things. And the Lord showed me then this scripture, and we were reading it this morning in Sunday school, and it brought all this back to me. "Sing, O barren, sing, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." I always have always thought of that as a special word from the Lord to me. "Enlarge the plate of enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen the cords. And strengthen thy stakes, For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and the seed and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. I felt ashamed an awful lot of my life. I felt not good enough. Another thing he says here is, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. And that's especially touching to me this morning, because I'm going to tell you about what the Lord has delivered me from. I'm an alcoholic, and I'd like to say that I'm hoping that's a big shock to most of you, because I'm such a good devious drunk that nobody, you know, I figured nobody knew it, but I see an awful lot of girls here that have come and picked me up at the bars and taken me home, and friends of mine that have stood with me in really tough times, oh, and not to mention my wonderful husband. But anyway, God has done a miraculous work in my life, and now I see that enlarging the place of my tent has such a larger implication than it ever had. It didn't just mean that I would have a kid, you know. You know that most of, well, I don't know how many of you knew me back then, but, you know, I was always very overweight. I mean, I'm talking like very overweight. Isn't that right, March? Come on, face it. And you know, and I don't think I ever went out on a date. And, you know, I really didn't think that I was going to get a chance to have a family, but I always wanted to be a mom, especially because I thought that I was really bossy. And I like to pick on people littler than me. So, I mean, what more, you know, isn't that kind of all the qualifications? So, I feel sometimes like Sarah in the Bible, who against all odds became a mother at a very elderly age. I can do her one better by marrying a man with the custody of his son. I got to be a mom without all that unpleasant birth stuff. So finally, I'll tell you what, when I met Mike and when I got married, it was heaven on earth. It was everything that I wanted from life. All of my dreams had been fulfilled. I had a child that I could just pour out all that love on. And I had a husband who, well, he was good then. He's a lot better now, you know. They get better with age, but he was pretty darn good then, too. And, you know, we had it all. And you know that hum of a house when everything's going right, you know, hum, you know, you got the laundry's done on time, and you got the kids' lunch ready, and, you know, and it takes a certain amount of control issue to do that. And, buddy, I was the queen of control. You know, I could do it. I could do it all, and I loved doing it all. I really did. And, of course, then came those teenage years, driving, the wreck, the police, more wrecks, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, believe it or not, all of a sudden, it was all over, you know. The motherhood thing. He moved out. Now, I know when girls move out, Niche, you know this, they call you every day and they're there almost every night. With boys, it ain't so. Chris moved out of the house and I didn't see him for 3 weeks. When he came back, I had his room painted and a new couch in there and everything. And he seemed to be very upset about that. Like, you know, what? Well, did you think we were going to make a shrine, you know, to your greatness? But back in those days, that was it. When he was out, he was out. And then I was very lonely, and I was bored, and I was depressed. And around the same time, my mom got sick, and I was taking care of her, so that was good. Gave me, you know, I had meaning in my life. And then in 1998, my mom died, and I was almost inconsolable. You know, I wasn't a daughter, I wasn't a mother, I wasn't anything anymore as far as of use, as far as I was concerned, you know. And I have to keep reading, I'm sorry. My ministry was always in finding someone with a need and filling it. So right around that time, Mike decided that it would be really fun if we moved to Florida. It sounded kind of fun. I have to admit that I was kind of, until I got to understand the reality of what that meant. I got to sell my furniture. I got to move away from my church friends. I got to move away from my family. I got to move away from, my house. My house is where I got married, where the cracks are on the where somebody fell and broke their little thing on. You know, every little crack in that house meant something to me. We had to sell the house, and of course Mike went on down to Florida and he got a job, played golf, and I got to come back home, sell the house, load up all the furniture, and drive it down there in one of them U-Haul trucks. And I tell you, I mean, I'm not dead, so I did a pretty good job. I am woman, hear me roar. You know, as long as I can keep doing that, I'm pretty good about myself. But when we went to Florida, I got very depressed. I was seeing a doctor for pills and all that stuff. And I started, part of what was going to happen when we went to Florida was we're all grown up now. Nobody needs us anymore. We're going to have the good life. We bought a house on a golf club, and we're going to go out, and we're going to have wine with dinner, and, we can do whatever we want. And it was just going to be a glorious life. Well, it was pretty glorious for Mike. But I was depressed, and all I wanted was my little family and my mom back, And I started drinking pretty good, not socially either, And it went on and on, and pretty soon we have a saying that says you can go from a cucumber to a pickle, but you can never go from a pickle back to a cucumber. So, once you get pickled, that's it. Your brain is kind of, So I became an alcoholic, but I certainly didn't admit it, And then we came back home to Cincinnati shortly after that. Please keep in mind that God had a plan for my life. Please keep in mind that I was a committed Christian at that time. I loved the Lord with all my heart. I was not a bad person trying to get good. I was a sick person trying to get well. Is it Paul who says, those things I don't want to do, I do them, and those things that I shouldn't do, I ought to do, I don't do them. There's a thing in my brain that was saying, this would be better with a glass of wine, this would be better with a glass of wine. Well, for a minute it was, but then I was plopped in the floor, And it got worse and worse, and Mike never really said anything much until after we got home, and it was getting to be pretty old by that time. God had a plan. Alcoholism is not a moral issue, in my opinion. That's all I'm going to say about that. I was revulsed by my own actions, and still the compulsion to drink got the best of me, and I begged God to help me. Surely this wasn't his plan for my life. Or was it? I don't know. Or was it? Who can help a person who has a need except a person who's been there? Who can help a suicide, a person who's attempted suicide, except a person who's felt like suicide before? God will ask us to go through things. He's got a plan for our lives, And It was not easy. Many false starts when I decided to get some help. James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into all different kinds of trouble. Knowing this, somebody finish it. I lost it. That what?
Trying.
The trying, yeah. It works patience. And I actually got it here somewhere. It says that, and then in Romans 5, it says, therefore being justified by faith. You know, we're saved by grace. Period. Nothing more. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand. You know, sometimes we can only stand and stand, and having done all, stand and rejoice in the glory of God. And not only this, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Patience worketh experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts of the by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Every day I get to wake up, not come to. I get to wake up and feel good. Can't imagine. I feel wonderful, and I know who to thank. These days, I spend my time reaching out to alcoholics, and Mike has a ministry to the family of alcoholics. Never would I have ever thought that's what I'd be doing at this time of my life. You know, sometimes you have to learn to let go when God says, when he's closing a door, you know, raising family is over, let go. Don't go sit in the corner and pout and drink forever, you know. Never would I have ever thought that I'd be here at this time of my life counseling people to turn their will and their lives over to the care of God. So far, his plan is perfect. I'm pretty sure I'll leave it, the rest of it, up to him. For about five times a week now, I get to go to a meeting, and I get to stand up and I get to say, hi, I'm Kathy. I'm a grateful alcoholic, and I'm so happy to be here. Happier than I've ever been, more peaceful than I've ever been. God can take us all through whatever we give to him. It takes surrender to his will. It takes surrender to his plan. He has one, and he'll never let us down. That's about all I've got. Well, this thing has gone.
Praise the Lord. That was a great testimony, wasn't it? You know, I think sometimes we forget that women, their job, a lot of their job is raising a family. And as the children grow up and leave, it's all of a sudden you're out of work to a certain extent as far as that part of your job. And, you know, mothers are always mothers. And, you know, they're always concerned about their children. And you know, it breaks their heart to see things happen to them. But yet, you know, I know a lot of times women are a little bit more emotional usually than men are most of the time. And, you know, it seems like they can fall into depression a little easier when a lot of their job begins to go away, you know. I know I experienced that a little bit with Margaret when she quit watching all the grandkids that she watched. And I actually started coming home and taking her to breakfast.
See the results?
I didn't used to eat breakfast. I didn't used to eat breakfast in the morning. But because I knew she was depressed a lot, to get her out of the house and to do something with her in the morning, I would take a break from work because I could pretty much leave if I needed to and stuff, because I was holding a position of vice president of that company. And I would take her to breakfast, and we'd go eat breakfast. And sometimes I'd take her to lunch, too, even though we had just eaten breakfast a few hours earlier, you know. But you know, so many times, you know, we don't understand how much that affects women, you know, and it does. I mean, you know, since I've retired, I know sometimes I feel a little bit useless at times, you know, but I mean, I spend time reading the Word and do other things. But if I did everything Margaret wanted me to do, I would be dead, I think. I had a cousin. He retired. He got married a second time, and he retired. And I heard he was married for about 6 months or so, and then he got a divorce. And somebody asked him why he got a divorce. He says, "Well, as soon as I retired, all I had to do was go to work. I was working all the time. She had all these things lined up for me to do." But you know, but anyway, you know, I can totally understand how that you can fall into those things, and I appreciate Kathy sharing that testimony, because I tell you what, we can all can identify with those kind of things in our life. But you know, God does have a plan. He really does. And if we'll just wait on Him and begin to say, "Lord, what is your plan for my life?" So many, I love that you're counseling alcoholics. And Mike had said that he's counseling the families. And that's wonderful. I mean, that's wonderful. And there's so many things that you can do after your family's even out of the picture to be a blessing to those around you through things that you've experienced. But I love that testimony, Kathy, and I'm glad you shared it. And that was a great one to share on Mother's Day, because, like I told you, I said you definitely have a mother's heart. If everybody will stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, thank you that you know, you do have a plan for us. You know, the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord, and a lot of times we don't realize that even the negative things that we've went through, that you turn them around and turn them into something positive if we'll just trust in you and in your grace, your mercy, and your love, because you do definitely have a plan. And I ask you to just continue to bless Kathy and Mike as they minister in that vein. And Father, just give them the wisdom to know what to say to people and how to just be an encouragement and a strength to people in that situation, because, you know, drinking or drugs or any of those type situations are... There's something that you can't hardly quit doing without your help. And even when you go to AA, because I went and took some courses one time, and when you go to AA, I know that they teach you not to be an enabler of people that do that. But you know, and they talk about a higher power. They don't mention Jesus, but there is no higher power than the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So, Father, I just ask you to bless Kathy and Mike in that ministry. I ask you to bless all the mothers today, and we're so thankful. And you know, I, in times past, I've read to you even some of the most famous men that we've had in this country testimonies, and almost always they would say, "I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my mother." And that's the truth. Father, in Jesus' name, just bless the mothers today. We thank you. And we give you all praise and glory for them. And just let them have a wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. If anybody would like to have prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you or talk with Kathy. Go ahead and talk with her or whatever.